And I hope we're back in studio, and I think we have David on the line. You there, David?
I am indeed.
Oh, wow. We're two for two today. So, yeah, welcome back to the... Sorry, I'm going to do it. So we're talking about Astronomy Ireland and what is happening over the next little bit in the skies above us.
Absolutely, yeah, lots to see in the sky at the moment. From right now, I'm just looking at the planet Venus over in the west, just where the sun has gone down. Jupiter will be rising in the east, and Mars will be up later on. And we've got the International Space Station flying over as well.
That's great stuff. So how do you identify which one is which? Excuse my ignorance.
The thing about Venus and Jupiter is that they are brighter than everything else in the sky. So, if you can see anything over in the twilight glow in the west, where the sun went down, have a look out now while you're listening in. You may see a brilliant star-like object. That's Venus, and it's going to be getting higher up as the weeks pass. It'll be a glorious sight over Christmas. A lot of people are going to think, is it the Christmas star? And the answer is no. We're pretty sure the Christmas star is actually a conjunction of the coming together of Jupiter and Saturn, not Venus. And we could go into the whole story of the Star of Bethlehem mystery if we had to.
Yeah, no, that'd be. I saw something in your notes saying that around the 1970s, they reckon that actually Jesus was born in, what was it, 6 or 7 BC? So he was minus 6 when he arrived in for Christmas, was he?
Yeah, he certainly wasn't born in 1 AD, and he definitely wasn't born on the 25th of December. The reason we picked those was when the Catholic Church became powerful enough to set its own calendar, a monk in about the 5th century was charged with the duty of working back to exactly when Christ was born. And biblical scholars know that he made some mistakes. He was out by several years. And we know that King Herod, who was responsible for the massacre of the innocents, he was alive when there was an eclipse of the moon on, and we can date eclipses very accurately. We know that happened in 4 BC, and modern wisdom has that Christ was born somewhere between 5 BC and 10 BC. And we look at what was happening there historically. In the 1970s, computers became powerful enough to work back that far, 2,000 years, and we found there was a coming together of Jupiter and Saturn that would have meant a lot to the wise men, who were probably astrologers. And they would have set out on this quest looking for the coming of the Messiah, as had been prophesied. So this event fits perfectly. And you go through all the details, you can come out with the fact that Jesus Christ, if the Star of Bethlehem is a real thing, was born on a Tuesday evening, the 15th of September, in the year 7 BC. We have it down to just a few hours.
Well, I must say myself, I'm quite glad it wasn't around then, because I'm quite close to... I'm quite close to there, and getting towards the end of September, and it means that I didn't get one birthday and Christmas present together. I think people who have their Christmas presents and their birthdays together always get a bit hard done by.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got, as you say, we've got the ISS, the International Space Station. I was going to say ISIS floating around above us, but I think that would be a bit of a thing not to say. We've got 7 astronauts on there at the moment, haven't we?
Yeah, that'll be flying over soon in the next within the next hour, 6:21 p.m. It's a different time every night, and we post the exact time to watch on our social media. So go to our website, astronomy.ie, and down the bottom you'll see Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, and make sure you follow us there, because when it's visible, which is 2 weeks every 2 months, we have the exact time posted around about sunset. So was posted about an hour ago. And as well as that, if there's going to be a display of the Northern Lights visible from Ireland, we'll have that there too. And anything else that's particularly impressive. For instance, Venus will be near the moon next Wednesday, next week, so we'll probably cover that next week's show in a bit more detail. So that's all free. And every night you'll be told when the ISS is flying over, if anything's going to chase it across the sky, and other interesting facts like that.
Great stuff. And when the show next week, so I think it's moving to Wednesday, isn't it? your interview.
Venus near the moon next Wednesday.
I noticed something that you're doing your interview with Eugene that you'd normally do your interview on the Tuesday. You're moving it to next Wednesday. Is that right?
Oh, is it moving next Wednesday, is it?
Oh, I'm telling you something. I will ignore me. Nope. I could be wrong.
Well, if it is, it is. But normally it's a Tuesday at 20 to 6.
Right.
But we're flexible.
Saturn, you were saying you can see it in the south all evening, but it looks like one of the many of the bright stars.
Exactly. If you don't know which star-like object is Saturn, you have to wait if you're completely here for the moon to go near it. Or if you've got a telescope, you can point it at all the bright stars in the south, and one of them will have rings. And we're actually running a Saturn watch at 7 p.m. this evening at our headquarters just outside Dublin City on the M50. You'll see details again on astronomy.ie. We've got powerful telescopes to show Saturn up close. We'll be able to see its rings, its moons. It's an incredible sight in a telescope. It's the one that makes everybody go ooh and ah when they look in, because this dot in the sky is transformed into this amazing, beautiful planet.
And you can see it. You can see it very clearly through a decent telescope.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can make it at least 100 times closer, sometimes 200 times closer. So instead of just being a dot with the naked eye, even with a pair of binoculars, it's still only a dot. You see the big globe, the rings are going around Saturn, and at least the two main moons, Titan and Rhea, and maybe a couple of others as well. It's got 146 moons, but most of them are tiny. But the big four are visible in decent amateur telescope. So if you don't own a big telescope, this is your chance to have a look at Saturn up close.
And
we do this once a year.
And I was reading...
So we'll do it again next year if you miss it tonight.
Only a year to wait. Just like Christmas. And you were saying that on the notes again, you've got Saturn has 146 moons.
The most of all the planets.
How do they figure out that there are 146? Counting them, or is it by...
Some of them were found with early telescopes, then telescopes got bigger and we found more. But then we sent spacecraft to Saturn, and they were able to pick up really tiny moons going around the planet that we probably can't see from Earth ever. But, it's definitely got lots more, but they're the 146 that we've definitely catalogued and been able to track and to say they definitely exist and they're not duplicates or anything like that. The very rigorous process that has to be gone through. And so when I was a kid, there were, I think, 20 or so moons of Saturn known. It's gone up to 146 now. I'm sure as time goes on, there'll be more and more added.
And we're complaining about inflation. and it's not a recent phenomenon, is it? The kind of people's interest in astronomy in Ireland. We had the biggest telescope in the world from 1845 to 1914 in Birr Castle. The Leviathan.
That's right. The Hubble Space Telescope of its day was built by the 3rd Earl of Ross in 1845.
And they've got something now called LOFAR, I think, which is based, kind of the most.
Yeah,
Western
there's a modern radio telescope on the grounds of the telescope in Birr. It's been beautifully restored. The main telescope. There's a science centre there. Definitely worth a day trip to enjoy the gardens as well as the telescopes. And, find out what modern astronomy is about. It's going electronic these days. And the things you can do with radio telescopes that you can't do with big optical telescopes that you look through. And that's just as well, because in Ireland, 3 out of 4 nights are cloudy. So a radio telescope works great in the Irish weather. Not so much the world's biggest telescope. It's amazing to think it was in the place where skies were mostly cloudy for half of a century. Fair play to the 3rd Earl of Ross for having that telescope. It wasn't superseded until 1917. So from the famine 1845 to 1917, Ireland was the home of the biggest telescope in the world. And people did come from all over the planet, as far away as New Zealand, either side of the globe, look through this telescope. So even today, it's a very impressive telescope. Technically, it's not owned by a research institution, so it's actually the biggest telescope in the world in amateur or private hands.
Still. But the LOFAR thing, the LOFAR is actually quite amazing because it stretches from Ireland to Poland, and I think there's 12 stations across Europe, isn't it?
Yeah. Basically, you can do with modern day electronics and science, you can do what's called aperture synthesis, make a bigger aperture without having to have a telescope physically as big as a few thousand kilometers, I think that is. And with radio waves, because they're longer wavelengths than light waves, you need a bigger telescope to get to see fine detail. And in fact, you can actually see finer detail with radio telescopes these days than you can with optical telescopes, because optical telescopes are limited by the shimmering of the Earth's atmosphere, and radio telescopes aren't. So if you want to peer into the heart of a black hole or other exotic objects like that, radio telescopes can actually give us the best information as to what's going on in there. It's an incredible area. And, you know, people join Astronomy Ireland just to look at the stars, but some people are interested in all this technology and just what we can do with modern technique. It still costs a lot of money. I think the Irish Node was a couple of million euros. It took a while to raise that. But now it's part of this big European conglomerate that everyone can club together to make a telescope that's ridiculously large.
And, I mean, when you're saying it's radio waves, how do you visualize a radio wave on a screen to make it look like, you know, something you'd see through your telescope?
Yeah, I mean, we're all just used to doing what we're doing now, listening in on the radio if people are local to Kilkenny, if they're not listening online. And the radio waves are made of little packets of energy called photons, and so is light. And it turns out light traveling through things like the human eye lens can actually get it focused. And there are, using metal dishes and even aerials, you can focus or pick up the radio waves, so you're detecting the individual photons again. And because they're much, much longer wavelength, you only get as much detail as the wavelength of light or radio waves determines. So if you've got a radio wave, I think they're of the order of a few meters wide, whereas light waves are tiny. They're billionths of a meter wide. So you've got this massive difference in scale. That's why you need the much bigger radio telescopes. But the various tricks you can do then on a human scale where, you know, if your radio telescope is of the order of, radio waves are order of a meter, you don't have to make them as accurately as you do lenses. And so we can actually do all this science, put it all together. It's a bit complicated, but we leave that to the experts. In Astronomy Ireland, we're amateurs. We just report on what they're discovering with these radio telescopes and leave the engineering and science to the real experts.
I think we can say that there's definitely some more expertise on your end of the call than mine.
Well, you know, it's just a question of time. Once you get into the hobby, it's fascinating. You pick up one fact after another, and you string a few thousand facts together, people think you're an expert. You're not. It's just 30 or 40 years studying the subject. You're bound to learn something,
yeah.
I hope.
Well, I'd hope so too. So we've got Saturn Watch that's starting this afternoon around, this evening around 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Yep, be on until 8 o'clock.
And you're going to be.
And there'll be another watch in the new year in January when we have a post Christmas telescope watch. People want to know how to use their telescopes, so watch out for that. Again, on the website and social media.
And you're going to be on today's one. Are you going to be answering questions for those who are thinking about getting a telescope for Christmas?
You know, if you talk to you, June, we could perhaps do it next week if people want some general advice. The basic thing we'll be telling people tonight is go by diameter, not magnification. People think the magnification is important. It has its place, but you can change the magnification on a telescope by changing what's called the eyepiece, the bit you look into, the magnifying glass. And so if your lens or mirror isn't big enough, it's not going to collect enough light at night time to show you the object well. So we try to go for lens telescopes that are at least 3 inches or 75 millimeters wide. Or mirror telescopes are cheaper to make, but they're not as efficient, so they need to be about 1.5 times wider. So a 4.5-inch mirror and up. And today, they're about 10 times cheaper in real terms than when I was a kid. And you'll get a good telescope for around 100 euros. Wow. They go up in price then. If you get them computerized, to thousands of euros. And some of the ones we'll be using tonight are worth 5,000 to 10,000 euros. But you don't need a telescope like that. That's saying, you know, you need a Formula One race car if you want to learn how to drive. There'll be a few people want a racing car. Most of us will be happy with a little jalopy that'll get us from point A to B. And that's what telescopes are like as well. In fact, one big tip. First telescope you should get, a binocular telescope, or binoculars for short, The best ones are 10 by 50 binoculars. They sell for 20 to 30 quid these days, and they'll show you things 100 times fainter than you can see with your eyes. So the star clusters, galaxies, even the moons of Jupiter that you can see with a humble pair of binoculars. They get you ready then for a proper telescope that magnifies a bit more and is sitting on a stand to hold it really steady.
I was going to say, I mean, would you recommend getting a stand or a tripod or something like that for them?
Yeah, I mean, get the binoculars. Don't get any telescope or binoculars without getting a subscription to Astronomy Ireland magazine. You're going to say, I'd say that anyway. But the thing is, if you don't know what to look for each month, you're just going to point it at a few random stars and then give up. And so many telescopes have been left in the attic because of that. Whereas, you know, next week, Venus is going to be near the Moon. Next month, Mars is going to be an incredible sight. It's coming closer to Earth than it has done for over 2 years. Saturn's rings are edge on. There was a bright comet last month. Did everybody see it with the naked eye? No. We told everybody through the magazine where it was, and I saw it with the naked eye, no problems. There was an eclipse in September as well. Did people see that? Our magazine is full of pictures of it taken from Ireland from those who do get the magazine. There's an eclipse next year as well that we'll be covering. There's two other bright comets coming next year and loads more besides. So without a guide, you're going to miss out. And it costs about a year or a week. If you're going to spend 100 quid in a telescope, you should certainly spend a euro a week making sure that you get the best use out of it.
Well, I must admit, after reading through all the notes I got for the show, I went and signed up for a family subscription for the children.
Ah, welcome
myself
aboard! Yeah,
for the Christmas holiday, and to get the magazine. So I might be on to you at some point and getting advice or going on to Dundeel and looking for an old telescope.
Definitely, yeah, and we'll give free advice to anybody who wants to know if they're buying a telescope. Maybe they've picked a couple of models, can't decide which one. If they're online, email the link to them and we'll tell you the relative merits. And most telescopes these days are pretty good at what they do. But, you know, do you need to spend €100 or €500? And is, you know, some of the telescopes have computer drives that a lot of people don't need.
And I'd guess that, you know, there'd be quite a few of them left up in the attic getting dusty. And so if you've got one up in the attic, go and dust it down.
To join, just come to our website, astronomy.ie. You'll see the join link there. We're always looking for new members. We're the world's most popular astronomy society because we really do cater for beginners. We want all 7 million people on the island to join because they're all missing out on the sights that there are to see out there. So the more of us, the merrier, and the more people we can get watching the skies. There was a huge fireball last night, for instance. We've just found out where it came from and went to. It appeared 70 kilometres above Dundalk and died about 35 kilometres above Cavan Town. And I've seen reports coming in from County Clare up to Donegal. It was that bright. So we couldn't predict that, but we can tell people where its path was after the effect.
And do you know where it landed?
We're not sure this one was big enough to actually land. If it did, it's near Cavan Town.
Right.
You'll be looking for a small black rock in several hundred square miles.
I thought they were going to be looking for Superman or for Trump, but anyway. Okay. I'd like to thank you very much, David, for coming on, and hopefully we'll be talking to you, or Eugene will be talking to you next week. Thanks very much for coming on.
Great, and 6:21, watch high up in the sky for a brilliant star-like object drifting across the night sky. That's the International Space Station with 7 astronauts on board.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks a million, David. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.